Hey guys, welcome in. It is Brad with College Sportscast, and we are here to do a rendition of our Big Fuss show, but we have got a jam-packed full show. We are here to talk about the championship games, men's and women's. We've got Calipari, Kentucky. We've got Arkansas. We've got the women's Kentucky team scoring a former All-American from Virginia Tech. We've got a jam-packed full show, guys. Join us.
Have your attention.
It's all a commotion around here.
What are you talking about?
Let them yap at you.
It's actually very exciting.
All right, guys, welcome in. It is Brad with College Sportscast. Like I said, we have a jam-packed full show here tonight. Jason Harrison is on with us. He is at the bottom of the screen. What's up, Jason?
What's going on, man? What's going on? How y'all guys doing?
All right, Jason says he has an hour with us tonight, and he's going to join us for an hour here. Said he has a ton of work to do, so just want to throw that out there for you guys right off the bat. And then, of course, at the top right here, I've got John Hammonds on with me. What's up, Hammonds?
What's up, buddy? How's it going? How's it going, Jason?
What's up, John? How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. How's it going?
So John's been super busy following all the news. We will get to some of this stuff, but we're going to start out with the championship stuff and the championship special that we're going to do here for you guys tonight. But first, what I want to bring up is our bracket challenge. So we have had a bracket challenge going on for men's and women's. And the first thing I want to bring up is this. So I want to give a huge shout out on the women's bracket. It was completed on Sunday night. I have been super busy following all this stuff, and I had an event today myself. So I haven't had time to put this out. But the winner of our women's championship bracket is Lauren Hayes. Got to give a huge shout out to Lauren. Lauren beat me. To be honest with you, I was in second place. If Iowa wins, I won. If South Carolina wins, Lauren won.
Hey,
so South
Carolina. I had South Carolina win. Don't I win something?
I'm just South kidding. Carolina won. Lauren won the bracket. John, because South Carolina won, you actually finished second, and I finished third. Had Iowa won, I was going to win and be in first place, but they didn't. So huge shout out to Lauren. She won our women's bracket. And for that, Lauren, you are going to get a code for a 20% discount off of home field apparel. So they have over 180 schools to choose from. I know Lauren's a huge Kentucky fan, but she also likes to wear dress and wear different schools, and I've seen her in different stuff. So whatever she wants to pick, you can get 20% off with this code. And then on the men's side, I got to give a huge shout out to Rob Logan. Rob Logan is part of the Let's Talk Sports Network. He does a Villanova basketball show. And for a Villanova guy to pick UConn to win it all, you got to give him a shout out. Rob Logan. For a UConn guy, I mean, for a Villanova guy to pick UConn to win it all, I got to give you a huge shout out. Rob Logan has been on our show once last year. He filled in for me, and me and him did a basketball show around March Madness time. He is a huge, he has his own show, Let's Talk Sports Network, Villanova Nation or something. I can't remember now, but it's a Villanova show, and it's on Let's Talk Sports Network. And Rob Logan knows his stuff and knows his basketball. Him and his son joined our pool. I want to give a huge shout out. His son was close. Had Purdue won, I think his son was going to win the bracket. And if Villanova won, Rob was going to win the bracket. So they had a lock on it, I think, going into the championship game. So I got to give a huge shout out to Rob Logan and his son, Lucas, who is slash maybe a teenager. I'm not exactly sure.
I think you meant UConn, not Villanova, right?
Is that what I said? No.
Yeah, you said Villanova was going to win the championship.
No. I meant UConn. If UConn won, then Rob was going to win. If Purdue won, then his son.
I was like, what?
Anyway, Rob, you are the winner. Congrats. And you also are going to get a code for 20% off on home field apparel. And we appreciate you joining our bracket. Lauren, we appreciate you. Everybody that joined our bracket, we had about 47 people that joined on the men's bracket this year and a little under 10 on the women's bracket. So we are hoping to build this, and I wanted to start with that tonight and start with our bracket challenge. I know Jason had an issue trying to get things up and running on the bracket challenge. So,
poor Jason.
Yeah, Jason had an issue trying to get his in.
I wouldn't have won no way. I wouldn't have won no way.
So. I was close on the women's, but I was way back in the men's. Way back.
I might have picked the winner. I might have picked the winner. I might even pick the championship game. So I might.
Well, I had three of the four championship teams. I had UConn, and I had South Carolina, and I had Iowa.
I had UConn and South Carolina on the men's and women's side. So, I mean, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion, you know.
And I had three of the four teams playing in the championships games. So I did have that.
No one picked NC State on either bracket, but NC State fans. So
I had NC State, I think, going to the Sweet 16, but that's as far as I am going. Oh no, I didn't either. I had Kentucky going to Sweet 16. Now I regret that decision. So
Yeah. 100%. I actually had that too, and absolutely, I regret that decision.
It blew up my face, to be honest. So.
All right, so before we dig in, real quick, you can help support us on Facebook now. We are growing on Facebook, have nearly 1,600 on our page now. We are massively growing on Facebook. If you are on Facebook tonight, you can help support us by sending us stars, or you can subscribe monthly for 99 cents. It helps support us, so we can continue to make content for you guys. So we would appreciate that. Want to throw that out there real quick for you guys. And now we're going to dig in to our championship games. And we're going to start with that. Of course, the first game was Sunday night championship game. We had South Carolina versus Iowa. Guys, the eyes that are watching the women's tournament this year is unbelievable. So almost 19 million average watched that game. It went all the way up to 24 million at one point in time.
It was
19 million is the most eyes on an ESPN basketball game in over 5 years. Any game, NBA, men's, tournament game, anything, any game.
It was, you know, I think it was 18.9 million viewers according to Nielsen.
That's the average.
They said that was four times what the women final drew, I think, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, and double last year.
The basketball game to be watched by that many people was the final in 2019 between Virginia and Texas Tech, which drew 19.6. So the women game is growing. It has been growing. I think, you know, a lot of it has to do, I think, Jason could probably jump off on this with me, is a lot of it's with Dawn Staley and Caitlin Clark. Those two are the premier two in this college women's game that people look up to. And I think they're changing the game and changing the way women are, you know, being viewed now as in turn as going from the men to the women. So I think it's a great thing for the game.
I think the women game outdrew the men's.
Yep. Yep, it did.
Viewers, yeah.
Yeah, it did. I think that Well, if you can really look at it, it was a lot of storylines for the Final Four, girls, rather, the women, I'm sorry. You had arguably a revenge tour for Iowa and South Carolina.
And South Carolina, yep.
So it was ironic that, how things lined up. And then you had to throw in this dynamic young freshman in the name of Juju Smith. Juju Smith came in and showed you that, okay, the next wave of young ladies who are going to come in and carry the torch that Caitlin Clark has left behind.
It's Juju Watkins.
Juju Watkins. I said Juju Smith, the football Watkins. Player.
I had to correct you
think of the,
yeah, you're right.
You think of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Juju Watkins.
You're good, Jason.
I am so sorry. Yeah. But, I just think, like, she – And with the Final Four, that every storyline was perfect.
It was because they got the LSU Iowa matchup in the Elite Eight. I mean, they got the Paige Beckers and the Iowa matchup, UConn Iowa matchup.
Yeah. So I got a question for you, Brad.
They got the revenge game where Iowa beat South Carolina last year, and they got that. I mean, every step of the women's tournament, there was huge storylines.
I got a question for you, Brad. I've been wanting to ask you this, and I know it might be far fetched out there, but do you think Dawn Staley deserves to be in the same talk with Coach K and many of the other greats?
Absolutely. What Dawn Staley has done. I mean, she's now. I'm not going to say that she is Geno quite yet, because what Geno did. I mean, y'all realize that Geno has been to 15 of the last 16 Final Fours, right?
Mm-hmm. Missed last year, but
he missed last. He's been to 15 out of 16 of the last Final Fours. So Don's not quite there yet. Okay,
you know, and I'm gonna piggyback on this with Don. The most impressive thing to me with the whole Dawn Staley thing is this South Carolina team had to replace five starters from a year ago.
They're young. They're going to have almost their entire squad back.
I would say that Dawn Staley is the leader of the new school. I think Geno is, to me, what Pat Summitt, then Geno took it over. I think the new way.
And I think Dawn is on the cusp of doing that with Geno.
I think she
is. But Geno is still getting to the Final Fours and still, I mean, so he's still there.
Well, and I didn't mention UConn in the Final Four as well, because they had their own storyline. They had five injuries that could have easily been seeing them hoist up the trophy.
Absolutely.
He did a remarkable job, and I commend those ladies.
Maybe his best coaching job ever. I mean, maybe.
Think about it. Because Paige could have just gave up. She could have been like, you know what? You know, I'm not coming back.
I mean, it was Paige and Aaliyah Edwards and a bunch of freshmen. That's all they had left.
Yeah. And really, in my opinion, a couple calls went against them.
Yeah.
That we could have been seeing South Carolina against UConn in the championship game. So, the women's game to me has really evolved. I'm scared, and I'm gonna say I'm scared because Caitlin Clark has so much of a following with her leaving
the game. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So like I said, Juju Watkins. You know, she
Hannah Hidalgo, Madison Booker. There's some good names that were freshmen this year.
But they're so spaced out that sometimes you're not going to get a chance to see them play unless they're playing prime time.
And I got to bring up since I'm talking women freshmen here, Jason. I got to bring up my favorite name, South Carolina freshman Malaysia Fulwiley. The girl is insane.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something that really impressed me about Paige Beckers that really hit it home with me was when they was doing her post-game interview, and she said that hopefully – it might have been pre-game, I can't remember, but she said something to the extent of, I hope that all the spotlight is not on me next year and it's all on the women's game. Like, she was not wanting to take all the credit for it, that she wanted everybody else to get a piece of the pie too. And well, I think that's what
– Yeah, she does, and she don't want – all the eyes to be on them, and still some of the eyes care about some of these other players, because there's a bunch of great players in the women's game.
Well, and I'm going to say this, you know, you got Haley Van Lith. She's in the portal now. Yep. You got Kenny Brooks moving on to Kentucky. He's bringing in a good batch of recruits.
And we're going to talk about Georgia Moore and Strack a little bit later.
I think next year, though, it's going to be Juju Watkins. I think she's going to be the talk of the tournament, talk of the season, because she
– Anna Hidalgo at Notre Dame.
Well, there's going to be a lot. But I think in terms of overall scheme of things, I think Juju Watkins will be your main headliner for the women's college basketball next year, in my opinion.
I think Haley Van Lith, look for maybe her to look at Stanford. I think that might be a good fit for her. But I'm also hearing that Kentucky might be a player in Kenny Brooks. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm throwing that out there, guys. I'm hearing some rumors that he might be a player.
It's going to be very interesting next year. It's going to be just as good as it was this year. Everybody's right. It's going to be just as good as it was this year.
Well, speaking of next year, let's talk about South Carolina's dominance, Dawn Staley's dominance in the game over the last – I mean, it's really been about 8 years, but let's talk about the last three. Jason, in the last 3 years, she's 109-3.
That's tough. That's real tough.
109-3.
And one of those losses was to Kentucky basketball. Women's.
In 2022 in the SEC championship game.
I had to throw that in there. So
now watch this. She should have been, even though it was already written and it was meant, she could have been, 109-4, you know, because they had to, and you probably seen it, they had to hit a three-pointer against Tennessee.
I was there covering the game in the SEC tournament.
She had to win. They hit a three-pointer. Now look at that. Her dominance caused someone to lose their job because the girl in Tennessee, she ended up getting fired.
And I'm going to be honest with you, they hired Kim Caldwell. She's from Marshall. That was her only year in Division I. She's had a good record in Division II. But I don't know that that's enough.
Let me give you a little nugget about her press conference. I think it was today.
I don't know if that's an upgrade from Kelly Harper. I mean, recruiting-wise, I'm not sure.
They asked her a question, I think. Was it today when she had her press conference?
It was. Kim Caldwell.
They asked her, they said, do you think your style of play and what you bring from Marshall can translate to the Tennessee basketball? She said, I wouldn't get took this job if I didn't think I could do it.
I mean, I understand she's going to think that. But she has 1 year of Division I women's basketball coaching at Marshall. Everything else was Division II. And now she's at Tennessee. That's one of the biggest brands in women's basketball that there is.
Hey, look at Nate Oates. He was a high school basketball coach.
Well, yeah, Nate Oates served his dues. You know, he came up through the ranks. You talking about somebody who caught lightning in a bottle and, you know.
He came up through the ranks in Division I.
Yeah, yeah, but the rings.
but he still was a high school coach. It's sort of like in that regard you was with D2. Like he wasn't really a known commodity until he got the Buffalo job when Bobby Hurley helped him get the Buffalo job.
He wasn't. Listen, Kim Caldwell was thrown around as a candidate for the Kentucky job. So I'm not going to say, and I don't think that there was a whole lot of real talk there. But as rumors, her name was thrown around for the Kentucky job. So I did look into her because her name was thrown around, and she got Marshall to the NCAA tournament this year. She was 26-6, but she lost 92-49 to Virginia Tech in the first game. That's the only time she's ever been to the dance was one time, and she lost 92-49.
And then you come in and you have to see Miss Dawn Staley.
SEC recruiting against Dawn Staley, Kim Mulkey. I mean, now Kenny Brooks, who's doing a pretty good job so far at Kentucky recruiting. I mean, I don't know, guys. That's all I'm saying.
It's tough now. You know, the rich get richer. You know, it's going to be tough.
So to finish here about Dawn Staley's dominance and a 109-3 record in the last in two championships, and she got beat in the semifinal game last year against Iowa. That's one of her losses. Okay. She loses Cardoza. And just about everybody else is going to be back. She has one player that set the bench and didn't play that much. She loses two, and everybody else is back. Plus, she is adding the number one overall recruit in the country.
I mean, I think, man, I don't know if she can go undefeated again. But man, she's gonna be right there in the thick.
She was undefeated last year until Iowa beat them in the Final Four. She went undefeated this year. I mean,
going undefeated is a tough stretch, especially much less the women's game. The men's game's tough as well. It's a tough situation, to do that. And you know, look at Kentucky and what was it, 15? They had a 37-0 record, or no, 38-0.
Yeah.
It's difficult to win all those games. Happened.
This was the 10th time, 11th time that it's happened. UConn's done it six times. Geno's done it six times in the women's game. South Carolina is now one of the fifth team, I think, that has accomplished Tennessee's done it twice. Texas has done it twice. There's another school, and I'm leaving him out. I'm going blank.
Whatever the case may be, South Carolina will be the hunted. They will be the hunted this coming up year. And so it's going to be rough. I don't see them going. Now, I can see them getting back to the Final Four, but – I can just say it's going to be real rough for them to try to repeat being that dominant that they were this year. Cordoza, she's a big girl.
You have to tip your cap to Dawn Staley and the job she does and the talent that this team has. I'm telling y'all, this team, Tessa Johnson showed it the other night, who's a freshman. Malaysia Fawali is a freshman that showed it. You're going to have Raven Johnson back. You're going to have Chloe Kitts back. You're going to have, I mean, just the list goes on and on.
Ooh, Papa Mau Mau.
You're going to have Tahina Pow Pow back. The list goes on and on. So
I was just having fun with her name.
Tahina Pow Pow, man. Say it right.
I was just aggravating.
I'm just messing. Just messing, man. She's got a great name. Tahina Pow Pow, you have a great name. I'm just saying.
She really does. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you have a great name. I really like it. All right. So the women's game, that was on Sunday. We're going to switch to last night's game. We've got UConn versus Purdue. The game started out, it looked like, well, maybe they can make this a game. And then UConn
just does what they do, and they wear you down.
UConn does. They said, you know what? We're gonna swarm the 3-point line, and we're gonna let Edie have 40 points, and we're gonna hold everybody else under 20, and we're gonna beat you. That's exactly
the thing. And the thing was, Edie started out really good. He was playing really well. And it was just like all of a sudden, you know.
I don't know exactly what he ended up with, but there at one time he had 37.
I think he had 37 points.
Yeah, he had 37. Well, UConn had the only guy that could defend him for a long stretch. They only had the two only guys, even though the other guy that UConn had was a lot slimmer than Cleveland was. But
Samson Johnson, who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was a lot slender. But, I mean,
Klingham's 7'2", and he
– Let me tell you –
four. So
Let me say this real quick, Brad and Jason. The thing about UConn that I love so much about them all season long is just the way they run sets, the way they move with the basketball, the way they – if you watch Dan Hurley on the sidelines, he was doing motions while he was doing offense. Like, there was
– Yeah.
There was no delays. It was all in sync as a
man. Defensively, they are all over you.
And I say this with great passion about the UConn program. It's not the greatest fun style of play that they bring, but what they do, they just play to their strengths. They play the way they play, and they just get after you nonstop on the defensive side of the ball. I think there was a couple times there where Cam Spencer was making life miserable for those guards. Samson Johnson was coming in and making plays. Donovan Klingham was making plays in underneath the goal.
Man, I got to give a huge hand to Cam Spencer. That dude played with passion.
He did. All season long, even last year.
I mean, he wanted it, guys. I mean, he absolutely just wanted it. You could see it in his
face. And there was a quick question that somebody had made today that would Cam Spencer be able to make it in the G League? And I think he can with the way he plays.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's no – now, the NBA, I don't know exactly right now, the NBA, but he can make a roster in the G League.
Absolutely.
There's too much –
Absolutely.
Talent there for him to not be in the G League.
If Mac McCollum can be the MVP of the G League, Cam Spencer can play in the G League.
I'm not so far removed that I don't think that he can make an NBA roster because he's just a winner.
He probably could. I mean, I'm not saying he can't.
He's just a winner because when you look at the NBA and the way it's going, a lot of guys don't have a skill set and they don't understand how to play. And to piggyback on what John was talking about with their offense, I mean, like Jay Wright was just saying, they never got rattled. They understood, because that's really some NBA type stuff. Move the ball, then attack. And
guys, you talking about
the
shooting a bunch of threes like the game is now.
You want to know a stat that really blows your mind? Is the last loss that UConn had in the tournament, I think it was under Hurley, was New Mexico State.
Yeah, they got beat,
Which that was the year Arkansas went to Sweet 16 and beat, I think it was Gonzaga, I believe.
They got what they wanted every time, and they knew what they wanted. You could tell they do a lot of read and react. They get what they want.
A bunch of mid-range. Listen, I'm telling y'all, they shoot a bunch of mid-range jumpers. They drive to the lane. They don't shoot like 30, 40 threes. That's not even what they're all.
You know, I'm going to say this, and you know, no disrespect to these coaches, it might be respect, whatever. But he feels like, to me, Hurley, he's a modern-day Rick Pitino from the early 90s and a young Calipari, except more championships. And I think the way he plays, the way he drives – the way he's driven, the passion that's there that was there when Cal was younger and when Pitino was younger, it's that.
Did y'all see him giving crap to
– I mean, that's
what I'm saying. Eden last night on the floor.
Eden said something to him. And he's a fiery New Jersey guy.
Yeah,
so
man, he didn't care. He's like, really know. He's like 6 foot. Eden's like 7'4". He's like –
Yeah, man.
He's like, you get over there.
Yeah.
I'm with you, John. I mean, they definitely play with their coach's identity in mind. You know, you can tell.
I'm not saying that he's the Rick Pitino of now, or I'm talking when Rick Pitino was just first getting into coaching and when Kyle was just getting into coaching.
You got to think about that young,
passionate, driven coach that just wants to win. And just, you know, they made a comment last night, Jason.
But look at his story. Look at his story, his background. His dad was a winner.
He was.
His brother was a winner in college. And he was like the runt. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But he ended up finding his way.
And to me, he felt like the odd kid out.
Yeah.
He went to Seton Hall and played. And he felt like the kid that got picked on the playground. And he's come out and he's, you know, made a name for himself.
He might wind up being the better of all of them. I mean, I'm not sure about his daddy because his daddy.
Daddy's a legend. But
I'm going to tell you, funny.
Championship after championship in high school in New York.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a funny story about Dan Hurley. So they was cutting the nets down last night. I read this on I don't know if it was Athletic or something, but they said, where is the tournament at next year? Like, where is the Final Four at? He was already ready to play again. Like, that's how much passion and driven he is to win basketball.
He made the comment that's going viral now. They said, man, you better get us now because we come.
Yep.
I agree, Barry.
Yeah.
Barry says pockets get full is absolutely the difference. And a young coach and an established coach to drive money.
That's true. Absolutely.
But is he willing to keep that money with the whole rumors surrounding him with Kentucky, or does he just want to stay there and build a dynasty?
We're going to get to that a little bit more, but they're coming with a Brinks truck to offer him some money. So we'll see if that happens or not.
Yep.
But we'll get into it a little more, but okay. So Purdue, got to talk about Edie. I mean, Edie, although he did struggle a bit, I mean, the man still had a double-double, 37 points. He's played 4 years. He's a two-time player of the year in college now. Surely, even though the NBA game has changed, he gets drafted in the lottery, right?
No.
I mean, how? I don't understand.
No, listen, Edie is good enough to make a team, but I think he still has to keep continuing to work on his conditioning and his lateral quickness, because there were times in which they put him in a pick and roll and it exposed what teams in the NBA would do to him. Now, his size, you can't teach his size. You can't teach.
And that hook shot he has is money. I mean,
I think what Jason is saying is here is that if he tries to do some of the stuff that he did in college to some of these big time, you know, NBA guys like Karl-Anthony Towns and such, he's going to get eaten alive early in his career.
Is he good enough to get drafted? Yes. Is he good enough to be on the NBA team? Yes. Is he good enough to play in the NBA? Yes. He checks all the boxes, right? But you know, like I know, the NBA is about potential. And his potential is still there. I think
he said he was going to be a star. I just asked if he would be a lottery pick, like 14.
I'm saying I don't think he'd be a top. Who would draft? I just don't think
he's going to be a top 30 guy. I just don't. There's too many ahead of him. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a great college player. You can talk about all the great NBA players. You know, college players, but he's, to me, I just feel like he's a better college player than he would be a pro. That's just my take on it. So,
Brad, I'm going to ask you the question. What would Edie bring to an organization?
Edie is a throwback to a time when a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had a hook shot. All right. I mean, I just don't think that the game is quite like that. So there is a huge, it's definitely not like that. And there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference in the game today. But I think Edie is a throwback big man that could be useful to an NBA team because his style of play, they would play so different than the rest of the NBA. I think he could help change the game back. I think he has that kind of potential.
Gotcha. I got you. I can see your point. The only thing that I would say was I don't know how well he shoots the ball. He has a good touch from the free throw line. I don't know how well he shoots the ball from 18 to 20 feet out. I'm not saying
he has to go back and you look. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar never left the floor past 18.
Well, it's kind of hard to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when that was over 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, Brad, you're comparing a game from the 1960s.
You're comparing different eras.
Jason asked me, and I'm saying his game is a throwback.
But what value?
I'm not saying it ain't. I'm just saying in today's NBA.
If you had Edie, what does he bring differently to your organization that you hadn't already seen?
I think what I'm saying is that if you draft him, if I'm a team who is at the bottom of the league, if I'm the Washington Wizards, okay, and I'm at the bottom of the league the last 2 or 3 years, if I'm a team at the bottom of this league in the NBA, he is a guy that could help change the game back from all of this constant three-pointer stuff. And he could dominate down low. And he is a guy who could help change the game back, is what I'm saying. He's big enough and talented enough.
I'm gonna say this, Brad. Washington had Porzingis, right? And they got rid of him. I don't think that Edie can come in and change the game. Edie is not Shaq.
I'm not saying he is. Saying this is a
chance. But what you're saying is
on a low tier team to take a chance on a guy like that, and I think they're.
I can agree with that, Dean. I can see your point. I can agree with that. He's worth taking a chance on. If I'm at the bottom of the barrel,
if you're a low tier team,
he's a low risk guy. And
the Wizards. Look at a team like the Pistons. Maybe working men, because they're not a great team, maybe he gets some minutes,
That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about your contenders and all that, they're not going to change the way they're playing and all that. That's not going to happen. Yeah. But your lower tier teams in the NBA the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, I think it's a chance to take a shot on somebody that could help change the way the game is played, and they wouldn't be used to defending that either.
Let me say this real quick before we move on past Edie. I kind of want to give a shout out to Braden Smith and some of these guards for Purdue that all season long they was a really fun team to watch. They just ran into a, I guess you could say, a dynasty, a team that has won so many games in the last 2 years that nobody was touching them all year. You know what's funny? I say this. The only team that came close to really competing with UConn was Alabama. I mean, I'm talking about tournament-wise. I'm not talking about regular season. Tournament-wise, it was UConn.
Yeah, in the tournament, yeah.
And, what Matt Painter.
Alabama had them in a six-point game with about, 2 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go.
To be honest, Matt Painter, he's done an unbelievable job. He's the type of guy that you just want to see succeed. He has these, he don't have a bunch of the 5-4-star talent. He just has guys that just willing to play and just make things happen. And shout out Matt Painter. He does a really good job with those guys.
Along with that, you're right. You're right. And I didn't mean to cut you off, Brad, but – John, you're correct. They came, they were on the revenge tour as well. Even though they came, they got beat bad, had
they
a
came
bad
up
loss
short,
last year.
But they were on a revenge tour.
They were on a revenge tour and almost got revenge. And then I'm going to harp on what you said.
And that's the thing, Jason. Purdue does not simply, they had one portal guy, I think, or maybe two. But they just get guys out of the high school ranks that are not really highly rated, and he just develops them.
That's a sign of a really great coach,
in my opinion.
Yep. Great program. Yep. They have a great program. So, I'm going to say this, Edie. Hold on, Edie. I looked it up. And Brad, they got him going on one draft board. I looked, I was like, I bet they got him on. And you said a team that can help. And they got Zach Edey at 37 going to the Memphis Grizzlies.
There you go.
I was like, I mean, a team that can use him and use his size. That's what I said. If he worked on his shape, you're right. You're right.
That's who it is. That's who's going to draft him. That's exactly a team that's towards the bottom that's going to take a chance on him because he's good and big and can be dominant. And it would be different than what other teams are doing. And they would have to defend him.
But and what made me keep thinking about it is because you made some great points. Memphis is really not a bottom-tier team.
No.
If they don't have all those injuries this year.
And right. So when they get their guy back.
Yeah. Putting him in around that would be really dynamic. So I'm off table. I like both you guys pointed about Purdue guards and Matt Payne and the way he developed and Edey as well.
Yeah. So let's move on. We talked about South Carolina's dominance on the women's side. Back-to-back champions. It don't happen on the men's side. Hadn't happened since Florida did it in, you know, with Billy Donovan. And before that, hadn't happened since Duke did it in 91-92.
And I say this with all that's within me. UConn, I might have said this earlier, but you're officially a blue blood.
Blue blood. You're absolutely a blue blood of college basketball now. Six championships in 25 years. Welcome to blue blood status. That's all I can say.
And they have more championships than Duke now.
Honestly.
Yeah, they do.
How is that possible? I told somebody in a tweet yesterday. I'm like, they have like UConn has more championships than Duke, huh?
Yep.
How's that possible?
Sure do.
To talk about what you guys are talking about. Very impressive. Very impressive. The level that UConn play with is very, very unmatched and unheard of. To win, it's like you knew they were going to win. And at some point in that game, Purdue yesterday, I was like, well, Purdue guard, they're not scared. But then it's what Carl Clairlaw always said. They have just such spurt
ability. They couldn't get shots off.
They go on these 6-0 runs, the 8-0 runs. These 9-2
The Purdue guards last night couldn't get shots off.
But they
– And two, I think, you know, with the whole UConn thing, they don't necessarily predominantly play the three-point game. This was – to me, it was inside those little jumper games, like with Castle and you know, Newton.
They do. They do a great job on the mid-range game. They do. And, like, they play a completely different way than most teams do.
They dominate the boards.
They do.
They do that. They really – and Matt Painter said that
they play inside out with the big guy. That's old-school ball. Like, it's old – they play old-school ball.
Well – I'm going to say they play
into another thing, too, Jason. They play that game where they throw it to the big man, throw it out to the three. They pass it around, and then they set up, and then they do a screen, and then they go in, and they drive to the lane, and they throw it out to a three. Like, it's just so precise offensive.
They know what they want to do. And to say this, they necessarily don't throw it inside all the time, Brad. They actually bring the big guy out to put you in those pick-and-roll situations.
Yeah.
If you have drop coverages – like you said, he's going to hand off right in that mid-range pull-up. You come but out and try to press up, they're going to throw the lob over the top.
But what made this team different, though, I think, though, Jason, it wasn't so much their offense. It was their defense and how they guarded the perimeter.
No doubt.
They guarded the perimeter pretty tight.
Josh, you talk about they've won both championships by double digits. For the first time ever in the history of March Madness, in the history of NCAA tournament, a team – has won 12 straight games, back-to-back championships by plus 13 points every single game.
That's tough. That's real.
That's how dominant they've been. Every single game.
It'll be – now, look, I don't know how many people they're losing. I know they're losing their freshman. You know, he has to go. If he comes back, he'll just be doing Coach Hurley.
Well, I'll tell you this much.
Yeah.
If you look around the whole college landscape, not just UConn, the portal was absolutely booming today. people was going in and out like all day long.
Yeah.
So, and NBA draft announcements was today. Like, there's a lot going to happen in the next couple of days, 3 days. So,
absolutely. It always is this time of year. But, 100%. So, like I said, welcome UConn to the blue blood status. You now have tied for the third most national championships ever in college basketball. So,
I think they're tied with North Carolina. They're tied with North Carolina. And they're two behind UCLA. No, actually, they might be four or five behind UCLA and two behind Kentucky. So,
yeah, they're two behind Kentucky. UCLA's got 11, Kentucky, 8. And North Carolina and UConn, 6, Duke, 5.
Ain't it crazy to think about with Duke that they only got 5 championships? You would think they would have more than what they had.
I mean, everybody as great as, Coach K and all that, UConn now has more championships than Duke. Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
It's nuts, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to think about, honestly. Mm-hmm. All right. I've got to touch on this, guys. We're going to get to it here. So let me see. I think I put it in here. Hang on a minute. All right. John Calipari resigns, leaves Kentucky today, is going to Arkansas, most likely. I don't think it's official yet, but let's just be honest. I'm pretty sure he's going to Arkansas. But he resigned from Kentucky today, and him and his wife, Ellen, both put out statements, some heartfelt statements, to be quite honest with you. Even somebody who is as tired of his crap as possible. Okay. And I'm talking about myself here. Okay. It's a little heart touching to see the comments that Ellen made and the Calipari made today. His wife, Ellen, by the way. And they've been at Kentucky for 15 years. They've done a lot of good work in the community and with the team for 10 plus years. So I'm not going to take Brownie Ellen. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to take anything away from the job that they done for the first 9 or 10 years. He was as good as anybody.
Can I say something on this situation real quick? Yeah. I appreciate everything Cal has done for this program, from 2009 when he was hired to even to 2017 when he had Fox and Monk and that really good team that lost to North Carolina Elite Eight. That was the best run that we've seen in probably Kentucky history, honestly, probably dating back to Adolph Rupp, honestly.
In terms
of winning
from 92 to 97 had a pretty
what
good
I mean, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about, draft picks and such. Like, Pitino had a few here and there guys go to the draft, but I don't think
96 we had a bunch,
but he didn't have as many as Cal, though, is what I'm trying to get at. Like, but still, the point still stands.
In college basketball from 92 to 97, Pitino was pretty hot.
He was. But I appreciate all he did. I wish him nothing but the best at Arkansas. I will say this, that I think it was just best for both parties to split because it was reaching a point of toxicity that was reaching levels that we've never seen before. And
I think it's a long time coming, to be honest with you.
And it's, exactly. It's been a long time coming with this thing. There's a lot of things that
long drawn out process for a couple of years, if you ask me.
Well, and I say this, there's probably going to be some things come out in the next couple of days that happened behind the scenes that really nobody really knows that really happened unless they really get to the source of it. Don't believe everything you read on the internet is all I'll say with that, because not everything is true and not everything is right. But
okay, Jason is in Arkansas. Okay. He lives in Arkansas. He is in Arkansas. Okay. So what's the buzz down there?
Well, I mean, the buzz is huge. I'm not going from You have Chris Beard turning it down to get more money, more NIL money from Coach Tang to turn it down.
Yeah.
To get more. It was just so many. Like, to me, it had got really bad and sad around here. It got because it seemed like no one wanted the job. Because I think Eric Musselman,
Chris Jans would talk to. Yeah, I mean,
you had Chris Jans, and I was like, wow. Then Daryl Walker, who actually coaches at ULR, or what we call ULA, Arkansas Little Rock, he was supposed to interview for the job. It was like, wow, they really gonna get a coach. And all of a sudden, Calipari, and to me, it just made sense because and this was the funny thing. I said, man, I do a podcast with two guys, man, who are diehard Kentucky.
Yep.
Blue Bloods. I'm talking about Blue Bloods. And I said, it's going to be funny when we talk to them because I've always said, y'all going to end up running Calipari out. But then when you look back at it, I mean, it probably was going to happen. But to get back to your question, man, it's optimism is high. I knew from his time in Memphis that he was always the owner of a steakhouse. And when they brought up the name John Tyson from the Tyson family, it was like it got serious then because I knew Calipari was not going to leave unless he had some reassurances, especially about the NIL money. Not to say that he didn't have any money.
I'm hearing that he's been reassured that he'll have $3 to $5 million every year to spend in NIL.
No, that's not three. That's 5 to 6. You're gonna have 5 to 6 because what? And this was the thing around the state. The Waltons were not on board with the NILs and Tyson. The big wigs, Jerry Jones, the big wigs were not on board as much. Especially the thing with Eric Musselman, because I think Eric Musselman left a bad taste in Arkansas fans' mouth. Because I think he
just wait till they get a hold of Calipari.
I mean, well, the thing about it is, this is only the third Hall of Famer coach that has ever been in Arkansas. You see what I'm saying? You had Eric Sutton, Nolan Richardson.
Yeah, I know who they are.
And here's another thing too, Jason. There was a report, I think it was like an hour ago before we started this, that the Kraft, I'm guessing it was Joe Kraft, was going to up the NIL money to $5 million and match what Arkansas gave Cal for Kentucky. Like he was going to up their NIL money that Arkansas made. So it's sort of like a back and forth type deal. Like it's
so you talking about him giving up, you know, $500,000 in salary and gaining, you know, 5 to 6 million. So you really talking about 14 to 15 million that he's walking into.
But the thing of it is he wouldn't do that at Kentucky. He come out and said that this is Kentucky and Kentucky shouldn't have to pay for those players and you should come here for the tradition.
I mean you're right because look what Cal did. Calipari
himself said that. He didn't even recruit. There was about 3 or 4 guys in the portal last year that the fans and everybody wanted him to go after, and he didn't even pay any attention to them and told in a statement that he's not doing it because they're asking for money.
I mean, you're right. You're right. You got to think about who was the forefather for the one and dones.
Frankenstein himself.
Frankenstein himself. You see what I'm saying? So he created the
money. Here's the thing too.
He
top of this
money for NIL, and at Kentucky, he wouldn't even do it. He wouldn't even go after the players.
I want to interrupt you real quick. Here's the thing that really bothers me though, is when Frankenstein I'm talking about how they created it. When Frankenstein can't control Frankenstein, there's a problem.
Well, it became legal to pay for players. See, he didn't want. I can share this story with you, and this is how powerful he was. Malik Newman was one of the top players in the state of Mississippi. He had everybody after him. And the story goes, he said to Malik Newman, hey, you can take those hundreds of thousands of dollars that they offer you, or you can come, or you can come play for me, and you'll never work for another person in your life. You see what I'm saying? And yeah, that was true. Now watch this. Malik Newman decided not to go with the Mississippi State. Had an up and down career. The person who replaced Malik Newman, because he stayed in Jackson, Mississippi all the time,
yeah,
Jamal Murray. So he always knew that, hey, if I don't get you, I'm going to get somebody else. He always yeah had him. And once the rule changed, the landscape changed. See, this is what my – this is the problem that I agree with Brad with. I don't agree sometimes with the transfer rules, but when you start doing it, you have to let everyone do it. Like Brad said, he didn't agree with the NIL deal, but when you start doing it, you have to let everyone do it. Now, it's not well, fair. It's not a fair playing field because Power Five, the rich get richer.
Well, that's and now, game. And now, what it is, Jason? Everybody wants a piece of the pie,
and rightfully so, though. Rightfully so, you know. I was that college kid, that college basketball player.
Jason wants his piece yeah of the pie too.
I mean, think about it. If you're selling my jersey, if you're selling your jersey, you're selling yeah your jersey, and you're making money off of me, and I don't even get a percentage of that.
Yeah.
But you kind of say, hey, your education being paid for. Hey, well, hey, that means you're getting free work out of me.
We've had some killer NIL talk on
hey, that. Hey, but listen, Jason. People don't realize, I don't know if people on here realize or not, you played for Ole Miss and you did get to a Sweet 16 game.
Yeah.
And a lot of people probably don't even remember that. Like,
yeah.
So that's me seeing this, me seeing and understanding the numbers and things like that. And I get it. But I mean, the buzz is real around here. He's supposed to have an introductory deal tomorrow. I just seen the rundown. But I mean, Arkansas yeah went from the only Division I top five, I mean, top to one of the top programs, not to have a coach, to getting a coach and stealing the entire headlines before the national championship.
All I want to say is this, and I know you're going to have an issue with it, but when it comes down to it, Kentucky's up here in as far as history, and Arkansas's down here. That is not.
Man, I'm not going to argue with you.
But I will say this. I will say this, though. The brand that Arkansas has at one time, now we're not talking now, but at one yeah time was on the same level as Kentucky.
No doubt.
Back in the early 90s.
We were close in the early 90s.
I'm talking about in the early 90s with Torvis Williams.
94, 95. Scotty yeah Thurman, Carlos Williamson. I mean, I can go on and on.
They made it to back to back championship game,
and they were very close to going back to back themselves.
Yeah, yeah, just yeah ran to a buzzsaw. But I mean, yeah, I think you guys can agree with this statement, and I know y'all gonna take it over from here. You guys can agree with this statement. Calipari's right. It was time for a new voice.
But Jason, I'll say this. I'll say this real quick, Jason, before you leave. On the Arkansas front, I know people don't agree with me, but during that era, Arkansas was pulling players like Kentucky was with Williamson, Beck, you know, Scotty Thurman.
I'm gonna say this. Larry Johnson told Coach Richardson, "You better go get you some men's," meaning he went to the junior college ranks.
Yeah,
he took older players, yeah, mixed them in with a couple freshmen, and so yeah that was something I think Calipari was reluctant to do. He just wanted to say,
especially
look,
especially at Kentucky.
At the end of the day, Arkansas, I got first round draft.
I think he's probably learned a lesson or two.
Huh?
I think Calipari's probably learned a lesson.
He did.
And he'll do it a little different at Arkansas.
Yeah, he's going to do it a lot different. He's going to have to. But here,
yeah,
and like you just said, Kentucky is one of those jobs. You see what I'm saying? And to be in all honesty, he did underachieve the last 5 to 6 years.
5 years.
He really underachieved.
And I want to put this out here. I am not dissing Arkansas. Arkansas is a top 15 job in college basketball, somewhere in that range. If you mark it down in history, I'm not saying that they are not. They are a good program. And I am not dissing Arkansas. Arkansas has won a championship.
No, 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 Jason knows I know the history of this game.
Yeah. I know he does. Yeah. So,
and you do, and you guys both do. It's just it's kind of like Kentucky doesn't have a professional team, right? An NBA team. So the Razorbacks here are the professional team. You see what I'm saying? For the whole state.
Arkansas is a little bit more football than they are basketball.
Yeah, you're right. But I would disagree that
their baseball team is a lot bigger than that.
Yeah, but they get behind the Razorbacks, man. They get behind the Razorbacks like no other.
The number one team in baseball.
That's like I tell people all the time. They're the most passionate fan base in all college sports. Like they love their team, they love their program, and
I would rank them behind Kentucky in the state of Indiana than Arkansas. I would do it just like that. Just like that, man. They're a passionate fan base. And one thing he has to do, though, he still got to win. So I think this gives him a little bit more life. Kentucky was just like, man, being a Kentucky is like being the president of the United States. You're under a microscope of everything you do.
We're about an hour in. I know you said you got to run, but before you go, tell us again, where are you actually from?
I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas.
That's exactly what I thought. I wanted everybody else to hear this. Jason played for Ole Miss, but he's from Little Rock, Arkansas. So he knows what he's talking about down there for the Arkansas fans. And I promise, and Jason knows, I am not dissing Arkansas. They are a great program. They are a great program, but over the history of the game, they're a notch below where Kentucky is.
I think Musselman helped bring it back close. He got a couple of elite acts. He brought it back. But it's kind of like Kentucky. You hadn't won a national championship since 94. We hadn't won one in 30 years. So, Musselman knew he did all he could do. And we all knew that he was trying to go back to California. And once that
did you grow up an Arkansas fan?
Man, grew up an Arkansas fan. Was at the parade when they won it.
I talked
to Scotty Thurman and Corey Williamson all when I was growing up. When I turned 18.
He knows he's actually helped coach with Scotty Thurman.
So I know these guys. The buzz is back. Now the wins, I don't know if the wins are gonna equate to the buzz. But the buzz is back.
He'll win. Calipari is going to win some games.
I appreciate you, Jason, for coming on tonight, bro.
Man, y'all be good, man. I'll check in, guys, with you guys.
Have a good one, man.
We appreciate you, Jason. All right, guys. That was Jason Harrison. He is a former Ole Miss point guard. Graduated in 02 or 03. I can never remember.
I can't remember either. Somewhere
it's either 02 or 03. He graduated. He played for Ole Miss. And he's from Arkansas, from Little Rock, and him being on tonight was a great insight to what's going on down in Arkansas and for the Razorback fans. So I had to put that in.
I think we've went over our time limit.
yeah, a little bit here. But, all right, John, before we go, let's get into a little bit about what is happening next for Kentucky.
Well, according to just certain tea leaves, you know, KSR put it out there earlier, which you made a comment about it, but the top three candidates at this point are Dan Hurley, Scott Drew, and Billy Donovan. And after that, it's probably a crapshoot. Let's just be frank. It's probably going to be guys like, you know, in the tier two, it's probably going to be guys like Sean Miller, guys like
I think Tommy Lloyd will probably be in that second year.
Maybe Bruce Pearl would be in that area. Maybe Nate Oates. I know that he had an extension raised, but I doubt that. But still,
I don't think Oates is going anywhere.
I'm going to say this for all the Kentucky fans out there that, you know, you got to pay attention to details. And I say this with the fact that, you know, everybody's kind of up in arms about Scott Drew at Baylor. And I'm going to say this right here before we leave. Scott Drew, before Baylor got there, had not I say this, had not been to an NCAA tournament in over, what, 30, 40 years, right? And they was at a point.
They were almost like near death penalty.
They was on a death penalty.
Yeah.
And they was getting close to being like, you know, put on the ringer for like, a death. That,
they had a huge scandal down there.
It was a big scandal.
They almost ruined their whole program. The scandal was within the men's basketball program.
Men's basketball program, yeah.
Yeah.
And Scott Drew came in, took over that job, you know, got them a championship, got them a Final Four. And people said he didn't.
He's had top five recruiting classes. He's currently got the top three recruiting class in the country.
He's got VJ Edgecombe coming. He's got Rob, I think it's Rob Wright that played with Cooper Flagg.
VJ Edgecombe.
Yeah, Edgecombe. And then they got Rob Wright that played with Cooper Flagg. He's a really good player. And then what he might do, now say that he gets the job, he might look at Reed Shepherd and maybe try to convince him to come back. Look at some portal guys. But to finish what I was going to say here.
And if he can keep Quaintance and maybe one more guy and bring Edgecombe and his other guy in and keep Shepherd. I mean, we're looking at a pretty good team here.
But, yeah, you're looking at maybe a Sweet 16, Elite Eight team.
Yeah. And next year.
But I say this,
like, it's going to take years for Kentucky to get better.
Well,
again.
And people, I heard a comment today that really set me on fire. It said Kentucky basketball is dead. Like, come on now.
Listen, we're going to be fine if we can get one of these top tier guys to take the thing, to take the head job.
I'm not the biggest fan of Scott Drew, but I like how he program builds. I like how he relates.
53 years old.
I like how he relates to players.
He's 53 years old. He's not 65 or 70. Or I know people say Patino, who's going to be 73 on his next birthday. I mean, come on.
And I tell you two things that I really love about him. He plays his own defense quite a bit.
He's willing to switch defenses.
And he's one of the best X's and O's coaches in college basketball.
Yep. And like I said, he recruits five-star guys, which is what Kentucky has been used to. I'm not saying he's going to get five or six five-star guys, but if he comes to Kentucky with the name Kentucky behind him,
yeah,
I think he could land a couple.
And here's the thing people don't understand is people say, well, he won't have this and this and this, but – at Baylor, he won't have the resources at Baylor that he will at Kentucky.
Right.
The brand's completely different.
And the brand behind him, and he's already recruiting five-star kids, I say he could get one or two a year.
I am too. And you know, I get so agitated with so-called fans that sit back and say, well, we're dead. Kentucky is done and all this stuff when they don't pay attention to detail. They don't pay attention to coaches, what they've done. They don't see what they've done, succeeded at.
But now
it just really burns me up, to be honest.
That's what we're kind of talking about here, Clyde. Clyde's joined us, but we're sitting here saying all the reasons why he can succeed here. But I do want to throw this out. So there was some talk and some rumors and some posts and stuff going around that Billy Donovan was on his way to Lexington today and stuff. And from the resources that I have, none of that's true. Matter of fact, I seen a post where he was asked and Donovan was even like, I don't know what you're talking about. So
a lot of people, Josh, that was on my Facebook, there's a lot of people on Twitter that they act like Scott Drew is some just,
I'm going to be honest with you, Mike Dowd. They even may go up from Hurley more than 11 to try to get him. So if we could get Drew at 6 or 8, there you go. I mean, it's possible. Well,
here's my thing. Is I don't really necessarily like the fact that people are nicking in the mud about Scott Drew. Scott Drew is a really good coach.
Absolutely.
And let me say this real quick before we hang up. I'll say this part out loud. Not everybody is going to come to Kentucky. You're going to have people say no. You're going to have you're not going to have many options at times. And you can't make coaches come here. And that's what fans see. That's what I have an issue with. Some of these people have unrealistic expectations that every coach is going to come here and succeed. And not every coach is wanting this pressure. Not every coach is wanting to get on the big stage and do the things that Cal Perry
did. Don't want the pressure. Some coaches don't want the pressure. They don't want the
And I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
Some coaches can't take that. So it's not for everybody. It's the same thing that Calipari said about the players. Coaching here is not for everybody.
It's not.
So and BG, I wanted to, you're saying Donovan is coaching and kind of laughing. He is. He's actually going to make the playoffs with the Bulls and is probably going to be in the play-in game here in a week or so. So, you know, he's still coaching. We'd have to wait for him, and who knows how long.
Who knows, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's just the truth of it here, guys. And for him, who has left the college game 10, 12 years ago, to him to come back from the NBA coaching the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, his new idea of the portal and the NIL, it's changed a lot since he left.
Yeah, the game has completely changed. I mean, he wouldn't be able to bring anybody with him
because he hadn't recruited
and done anything for years.
But even me and my mother was talking today, we would definitely take Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan is a well-known commodity around Lexington because he would be
fantastic. He would help galvanize the fan base, too, if we get Billy Donovan. And there's a lot of positives. But I think, too,
Brad, it would ignite the fan base, too, a little bit.
It would galvanize the fan base. I just said that. It would. There's some positives, but there's also some negatives.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
here's your big team. You're wanting to talk Kentucky women's basketball. So I just.
Yeah. So the last thing I'll say here is Jay Wright was in the mix, but Jay Wright is passing on it. But the name Jay Wright, I know a lot of fans and a lot of fans wanted him, but Jay Wright was in the mix. He was in that top tier, but Jay Wright is passing on it. Jay Wright got out because of NIL and stuff, and he's in the broadcasting now and covering the games, and he enjoys that, and he's been a coach for a long time, and he doesn't want to get back into coaching. So I just wanted to throw that in there. All right. So we talked about that, and that's where I think that the men's are. But I got to give a huge shout-out here. I know that Mitch Barnhart is under some heat here, but I got to give a huge shout-out here to the job that Mitch Barnhart has done in hiring the new basketball coach for Kentucky women's team and Kenny Brooks. Kenny Brooks has signed two of his former players from Virginia Tech, Georgia Amore, who is the point guard, who is an All-American, guys, that is coming to Kentucky, and his freshman star center, 6'5 center, Clara Strack, is also signed with Kentucky now. They signed in the last 2 days on the Kentucky women's team. It is huge, huge news to get an All-American up there and to get a top ESPN top 75 player from New York like Clara Strack. We also got a commitment. She hasn't signed yet from a top 30, 35 player, Lexi Blue, with the name Blue, and coming to Kentucky. I mean, come on. She's a top 35 player. She's a four-star player, top 35. She's a 6'2 forward guard / wing. She's going to be fantastic up there for years to come. So there is a lot of excitement. He's also bringing in a 6'7 junior college transfer. Her name is Hassett. I'm not sure how she pronounces it yet. but she is 6'7". She averaged over 19 points and 12 rebounds and shot 41% from the three-point line as a big girl, all right, in junior college. So she's a junior college player. She's going to come in as a junior next year. So there is a lot of excitement. Them two girls have not signed yet, but Amore and Strack has signed in the last 2 days. I want to give a huge shout out to Kenny Brooks and to the women's team and getting to cover the women's team. So I wanted to put that on the show and at least have a shout out to them. Kentucky women's, the SEC, these kind of signings, Kenny Brooks is putting the SEC on notice that Kentucky women's basketball is coming back. We were talking about Tennessee and their hire earlier, and I think Kentucky, in my opinion, Kentucky totally outdone Tennessee on the hiring of their coach. What do you think, John?
I definitely agree with you, brother.
I think so. So I'm really, really pleased with that, and I wanted to throw that in there. I'm going to go back to a few comments here and see. I think that's what.
So I will say this, that we apologize if this show was longer than expected. It was a big show to fit everything, all this in here. So it's usually not this late. So.
We had a jam-packed show we wanted to talk about.
Yeah. It's usually not this. It usually ends before all this, so. But.
All right. BG here says, talking about Brooks.
Yeah. BG's
absolutely.
Good guy.
The job he's done is phenomenal. So.
Thank you, BG. Yeah. You're a good guy, absolutely, man. Keep it up.
Yeah, man, we appreciate that. We talk back and forth sometimes and everything, so I appreciate you being here. Mike, Brandon, anybody that's been with us, was with us earlier, Clyde, Josh, I mean, all of you, we appreciate you being here with us. So we will see you guys probably on Thursday night this week. We will probably try to do our show on Thursday night. I'm going to keep these shows up through April is my – the one thing coming up pretty soon, April 21st, we're going to have a two-round mock draft for you, NFL mock draft with the mock draft guy on
YouTube. I will say this, that we can't announce it yet, but we have a big-time surprise guest coming up soon. That's all I can say right now. So
yeah, we're working on a surprise Kentucky women's basketball guest. That's all I will give you.
That's all I will say. So
yeah, but – we're working on something that would be big.
Well, it's behind. We're trying to back channel and get everything situated with it. So,
yep, absolutely. So, guys, I hope everybody has a great night, and we appreciate you being with us, and we will see you on Thursday night this week.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, y'all have a good night.